1 Peter chapter 1, we're going to read 3 to 9. Now, some of you might be thinking, he's read 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 3 through 9 the last 2 weeks. I said, well, that's a nice habit to get into. They say you do something 7 times, it's a habit. But what this does do is it gives us a context of what Peter is talking about and writing to his readers. Danny, kick me down to light number 3, if you would, please. 1 Peter chapter 1, if you're there, say amen.
Amen.
Bible says, reading from verses 3, says, praise be. Anybody say praise?
Praise.
Praise be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. In his great mercy, he has given us new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead and into an inheritance that can never perish, spoil, or fade, kept in heaven for you, who through faith are shielded by God's power until the coming of the salvation that is ready to be revealed in the last time. In this, I hope you're rejoicing in that. In this, you greatly rejoice, though now, for a little while, you may have had to suffer grief in all kinds of trials. Can I get a witness on that? Anybody got some trials this week? Challenges this week? Coming your way? These have come. God lets these come. God doesn't make them come. Surrounded by sin, they just come. Can I get a witness on that part? Amen? These have come so that your faith, which is has greater worth than gold, which even perishes through fire, that your faith can be proved genuine. And this is key right here. That your faith might be proved genuine and result in praise, glory, and honor when Jesus Christ is revealed. Though you have not seen him, you love him. And even though you do not see him now, you believe in him and are filled with an inexpressible and glorious joy, for you are receiving the goal of your faith, the salvation of your soul. Lord, I thank you that you are good, mighty, and awesome. I thank you, Lord, that you meet us in this place, that you have a purpose for each of us. You are here this morning. It is because God has a purpose for you, a place for you in his plan. Lord, it is hard living this life. Lord, it is hard living in City Heights, surrounded by pagans and sin and defilement. Challenges, Lord, that come upon us, Lord. Lord, I thank you for a message written 2,000 years ago for people surrounded by the same types of depravity. And Lord, that depravity does not stop your plan. Lord, that you use that to grow us up, that we can glorify you. And we'll give you praise in Jesus' name. And everyone said? I was working. I might have said I wasn't going to talk about this anymore. So I don't want to lie from the pulpit, but I was working on the Super 88 a couple weeks ago. And I put on a new timing chain cover and pulled the radiator out, and I put the radiator back in and started up, and the radiator was leaking. And I'm figuring, man, I nicked that thing. I did something to it. And so I bought it from Ace's Radiator over in Logan Heights. And I called them up, and I said, hey, I got this radiator from you guys, and I think I nicked it. And can you guys fix it for me? Yeah, we can do that. We can fix that. It's a copper radiator and all that kind of stuff. And I turn it in, and a lady's at the counter. And she says, well, this thing is filthy. Really? Okay. And I said, well, can you fix it? Oh, yeah, we can fix it. We'll put it on the line and, you know, get it in there. So guy calls me up this week and says, oh, this radiator is messed up. And I said, man, I bought that thing from you guys. like 4 years ago for my 63 olds, man. And it's got maybe 20 miles on it. He goes, oh, yeah, that's the problem. He says, you let that radiator just sit there, and even though you got antifreeze in it, it'll separate from the water. And then that water begins to just corrode and rust out your radiator and your motor. He said, we get this all fixed out. We're going to pull the top and bottom out and rot it out, and we'll do all that stuff, and it'll be good as new. But you get that baby fixed, it's made to run. That thing's made to shine. And that's what Peter is talking about in our lives, that indeed we are made to shine. And God does a work in us so that we can do a work for him. We're in this series called The Great Adventure. And in this adventure, it's a challenge. Living the life of the Lord is a challenge. Amen? Amen? Anybody have a challenge this week? Anybody have some challenge? Oh, I see challenges in the back, challenges in the front, challenges all over the place. These readers, as I've mentioned before, were living in what is modern-day Turkey. And it was a challenge back then. It's a challenge today. You got Russia, Syria, Iraq, and Iran all bordering on modern-day Turkey. You're a Christian, you're going to run into challenges. And Peter's saying, hey, man, you're going to live the life of the challenge, the life of the Lord, the great adventure? You're going to run into struggles. He says, but it is these challenges that you will run into that are going to give you the ability to grab onto God. Amen? Anybody get any challenges this week? He says, when you run into challenges, when you grab onto God, that's when you grow. So in your challenges, everybody's going, uh-huh, yeah, uh-huh. I said, did you grow? Were you able to grab on to God? Because I tell you what, I had some. I had challenges. And in them, I was able to grab onto God. And I was able to grow. And now, because of the challenges, I am in a new place. In that new place, it's a better place. It's a place where there is joy. God works in each of us to move us through challenges so that we can shine. Now, it's easy when you get into a challenge to root down, say, I'm going to fight this thing out. Am I the only one? But when you root into fight, that means you're not moving through. You're not getting any movement. And Peter is writing, saying, man, he goes, you guys are surrounded by people who are attacking you and persecuting you for your faith. And I don't want you rooting in and fighting. I want you growing. These challenges, so you can grab onto God. He'll do a work in you, and you can shine. Amen? The title of our message today is Made to Shine. Let's take a look. We're going to spend our time in 1 Peter chapter 2, and Peter says, it's time to change. It's time to be changed. Anybody changed here? Everybody need to change? Witness? Therefore, rid yourselves of all malice, all deceit, hypocrisy, envy, and slander of every kind. And Peter says, some things just need to be gone. And Peter is not writing to his readers saying so much that they need to change. He is writing to his readers, saying, now that you are rid of these things. It's like, hallelujah, taking off a jacket. And I'm telling you, this jacket was getting hot up here as a prop. But he says, you know, now, realistically, you can read that as now that you have rid yourselves of these things. And some of you might be reading that list going, I'm not quite done with all those yet. Well, this stuff in your life will dull your shine. Mess up your progress. And see, God's doing a work in you so that you can shine. Let's take a look at this list. He starts off with malice. Malice. I got a definition here for malice. I want you to pay attention to this. Malice is the desire to inflict injury, harm, or suffering on another, either because of hostile impulse or, I love this part, out of deep-seated meanness. Inflicting harm out of impulse or meanness. See, what happens is instead of moving ahead, you loop around to get even. Am I the only one who thinks like that? I'm going to get that guy. That's malice. Deception is fraud or cheating. Usually deception is trying to move ahead. I can get ahead if I lie. If I cheat, I can get a win. Hypocrisy. Just fake it. Putting on a front. Pretending what you're not for gain. To get ahead. I want people to see what I really am. Envy. Do not covet your neighbor's house or donkey or wife or TV or car or anything else your neighbor has. What this is trying to take what is yours, what is not rightfully yours to take. And slander. Slander is lying on somebody. You know, a lot of people went, whoa, I've done that. Lying on somebody for your gain. Make you look better. Or make them look worse so that you can move ahead in what you got going on. Amen? All right, let's continue reading verses 2 and 3. Like newborn babies. Anybody think of a newborn baby? Oh, they're so cute. Crave pure spiritual milk so that by it you may grow up in your salvation now that you have tasted that the Lord is good. Peter says, you want to move into the good things. You want to move in ahead in your life. Move into the things of God. Because those old things, that malice, envy, hypocrisy, and all that kind of stuff, is not going to move you ahead. It's going to slow you down and break you down. Peter likens our spiritual growth to that of a baby. And he says that like a baby puts a focus on its mother, that you put a focus on God. You know, how many people have had a baby in their home? Infant? Yeah? I'll tell you what, babies are made for milk. And once they get a taste, because, I mean, really, there's a baby right there. Christina, step up for a second. Look at that baby right there. Everybody look. Oh, yeah, look at that cute little baby. Yeah, all right, that's good. That's enough. That they got a natural instinct, man. You rub their cheek, and all of a sudden, they just start going. They're good. And they get a taste, and that's all they know. All they want is milk. And they don't get milk, they cry. Amen? Problem, we come to the Lord, we got all kinds of flavors rolling through our heads. Amen? Once you get a taste of God, he says, you need to put a focus. Let spiritual milk be your target. Don't be distracted. See this guy right here? Pulling a tire. Does he look focused? That's the way we're supposed to be going after the spiritual milk of God. He said, don't take any fakes. Only the real deal will do. Now, underlying our desire for our spiritual milk is an actual encounter with God. now that you have tasted that the Lord is good. Run after it. Pursue it. Go for it. Our growth and our maturity is based on an actual encounter and an ongoing encounter with God that will transform us, because he does a work in us so that we can shine. Let me describe this to you, and I'm not going to talk about the Super 88 anymore today, but I'm taking that promise because it might be coming back in the future. My son comes down, and he wants to see his mama, and he wants to see his friends. But I'll tell you what, folks, when he comes down, usually on the way into town, he is going to stop at Lolita's. Because I don't know where he got this, but he has got a taste for Lolita's Mexican food. And he will hit Lolita's on the way into town because he's missed it for so long. And on the way out of town, he'll hit it again because he knows he's not going to have it. I was with at our house, and I was cooking some steaks. And Josh came in and said, "Oh, Josh, we'll feed you too." And Josh said to Joe, "What about Lolita's?" And I am literally cooking these steaks on the grill, and they both left to go to Lolita's. And Peter says, "You get a taste of God, I want you to leave stuff behind so that you can pursue growth and life in him and shine." Amen? All right. Spiritual priests. Verses 4 and 5. "As you come to him, the living stone, rejected by humans but chosen by God and precious to him, you also, like living stones, are being built into a spiritual house to be a holy priesthood." That's you. Spiritual house, holy priesthood. And you got a job. Offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Christ Jesus. God's growing us into something special. Or he's trying to. Because the closer you get to God, the more you're going to change. He says, "As you come to him." That speaks about movement. I hope there's movement in your life. As you put a focus on God, he puts a focus on you. He does a work in us so that we can shine. Now, Peter called us infants. He gives us a new image for Jesus, a living stone. The grave could not hold him, amen? That he is raised from the dead, and that as we come to him, that we as well are raised from the dead, and we also become like him, living stones. And then it says that as we are shaped and changed, that he begins to mold us together into a spiritual house. And you know, I've always mistakenly thought of blocks in a wall. But we come to him, and we don't necessarily come to each other. And what it is, we're like living stones spread out all over the place. Each of us a part of the spiritual kingdom of God, and each of us offering up spiritual sacrifices to God. Can you get an image of that? These spiritual sacrifices going out all over the place take the place of or supersede those physical sacrifices that were going on in the temple of Jerusalem at the time. He says, "I'm looking for a holy priesthood. And all you guys spread out all over Turkey, going, undergoing persecution, you're it. And in the midst of that, I want you to lift up sacrifice. You think of Jesus, our model, that he sacrificed on the cross for those very people who crucified him. And that the sacrifices that go up in modern, what is today modern day Turkey, are intended for the very people that are persecuting those Christians. So we're surrounded by persecution. God does a work in us so that we can shine, oftentimes to our very persecutors. Not one amen. Because that's a challenge. Amen? He hung on a cross and said, what? Forgive them, Father, because they don't know what they're doing. How many idiots you got around you don't know what they're doing? You know what God says? They're for you. Thank you very much, Lori. I'm going to buy you lunch today. Hallelujah. All right. Because some things need to be gone, right? I'm sorry, where am I at? Oh, I went the wrong way. Did I go the wrong way? I went the wrong way. What did I do? What did I do? How did I get there? Lolitas. All right, here we go. I guess that's it. Talking about lunch. All righty. Verses 6 through 8. For in Scripture it says, see, there's quotes from Isaiah and from Proverbs. See, I lay a stone in Zion, a chosen and precious cornerstone. And the one who trusts in him will never be put to shame. Can I get a witness on that? Now, do you believe the stone is precious? But to those who do not believe, the stone the builders rejected has become the cornerstone, and a stone that causes people to stumble, and a rock that makes them fall. They stumble because they disobey the message, which is also what they were destined for. So now we got another image of Jesus, not just the living stone, but the cornerstone. I have an image here for you of a cornerstone in a modern building, but the cornerstone was precious. Cornerstone was expensive. The cornerstone would have precise angles and measurements. It would generally be larger than all the accompanying stones. And in the construction techniques of the day, they would lay down that cornerstone and every other stone in the building would be lined up on the cornerstone. And so the building would be true and square and not all sloppy and messed up. Now, as Jesus is our cornerstone, as we come to him and we become living stones, we line ourselves up on him. Amen? And as we line up on him, we also become lined up on one another. Can I get a witness on that? And so we become this edifice, this place where Jesus guides us, directs us, and we offer up sacrifice. Now, Peter says, if you line yourselves up on Jesus, you will never be put to shame. You'll never be disgraced. Now, we can wonder about that because his readers were being arrested, persecuted, and even killed for their faith. But Peter's talking about something else. Jesus describes it. Matthew chapter 24, verses 12 and 13. Because of the increase of wickedness, the love of most will grow cold. But the one who stands firm to the end will be saved. That there is a judgment day, and there will be those who are lost, and there will be those who are saved, and he who stands to the end will not be shamed or disgraced on that day. Amen? He talks about those who will be shamed. He talks about those who reject the cornerstone, that the cornerstone causes them to stumble and fall. Before you knew the Lord, did his word cause you to miss your step? Because it's intended to make those who do not know him trip and fall and stumble. And what we have is a contrast, two contrasting pictures here. We have a picture of those as you come to him, he says, right? As you come to him, the cornerstone, the living stone, that we begin to move into the light, and indeed we begin to shine. And then he talks about a different picture of those who reject the cornerstone, the majority who reject the cornerstone and move away, oh, I can do this good over here, and move into darkness. Notice that disobedience does not disrupt the plan of God, but it will isolate you from it. He says, I got better things in mind for you. God doing a work in you so that you can shine. Talk to you a little bit about shining, sacrifice. Wonderful Miss Lori here has had some challenges this week and needed to go to the ER room on Wednesday night. And it was late. It was like 11 o'clock, right? And my wife is going, oh, man, Lori has to go to the emergency room. It's 11 o'clock at night. That's late. And she says, Lisa Gaudet is going to take her. But Lisa Gaudet has a problem. She has to get her car back by 6 a.m. She's cool from 11 p.m. to 6 a.m. You know what I call that? I call that sacrifice. Can I get a witness on that? And things ended up good. But I'll tell you what, Lisa Gaudet got the opportunity, and Lisa Gaudet shined. Amen? All right, let's keep on going. Move to the last thing I got for you today, which is spiritual impact. God does a work in us so that we can have impact. He says, verses 9 and 10, you are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, God's special possession that, I hope, is that you? Listen to this. You are chosen a royal priesthood. Because you can go, oh, yeah. A holy nation. Okay. God's special possession that you may declare the praises of him who called you out of darkness and into his wonderful light. Once you were not a people, but now you are the people of God. Once you had not received mercy, but now you have received mercy. Peter says, we need to be getting out the message that God's doing a work in us, that God has called us to be something special, God has called us to be different, that God has called us to let other people know. God chooses you for a place in his plan. And I hope you're working that. He says, in addition to all this sacrifice, you got to bring the message of his goodness and glory. He says, the church and all those who are in it, if you know the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, you know him as your Savior, that you are intended to have a message of his glory now that you have tasted that the Lord is good. 1 Peter chapter 3. Verse 15, always be prepared to give an answer to everyone who asks you to give a reason for the hope that you have. And he says, when you shine, it's going to perk people's interest and they will ask, what makes you different? He said, man, I got a taste of the Lord. Amen? God calls us out of darkness so that we can lead others out of darkness. We know the way. And there are many who know the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior and say, you know what, I'm not all that confident. I struggle with the ability of sharing Christ for lost people in pain around me. Can you relate? You know what? Joe's got no problem telling people about Lolita's. Let me tell you about the greatest burrito I ever had. You're laughing. If you have tasted that the Lord is good, and I've been preaching for 20 years, I hope I know the word better than you. Because I spend 20 to 30 hours a week studying this. Okay? But you know him as well as I do. As soon as you have tasted that the Lord is good, you don't have to have every answer. But you got a message. He's good. Well, how does he work out this? I don't know, but let's go find out. Don't introduce people to the church. Don't introduce people to me. Introduce people to the Lord. You ain't never tasted me, but I hope that you tasted that the Lord is good and that you have a message. You are able to shine. And as you come out of darkness, that you can take some people with you. Amen? Hallelujah. Say, man, I taste it. Lord is good. I'll take you to dinner. Yeah. It's a message that breaks forth. Message that breaks through the darkness. He works in us so we can shine. Amen? Last thing. Verse 11, 12. Dear friends, I urge you as foreigners and exiles, some translations got aliens, to abstain from sinful desires which wage war against your soul. Live such good lives among the pagans. Pagans are doing what? Attacking them. That though they accuse you of doing wrong, they may see your good deeds and glorify God on the day that he visits. See, Christians are supposed to be different. I hope you're different because you have tasted that the Lord is good, that you have a focus and a purpose in life. Christians are supposed to live like we're not from around here. Coming up on Friday, Chinese New Year, Lunar New Year, Tet. And they got egg rolls, and they got all kinds of things. It's way different. You know, I didn't know Johnny was going to be here today. You know, Johnny does a little thing on New Year's, you know, with the greens and the black-eyed peas. Right, Johnny? And it's good luck in the South. But they're different from us, too, right? But I don't know about anyway, we're not going there. Right? That's different. And it's easy to see we're not like them. Amen? God wants us to be different, and he wants us to shine. Now, these people were living among the pagans. They were living among those who were attacking them. Okay? Stay with me on this. It would be easy to respond to their attacks with malice and envy and slander and hypocrisy. But if you grab back on to those things in the midst of your challenge, you'll never shine. You'll never grow. And you'll never move. He says, don't be like them. He says, you're not like them. He says, you took this stuff off. And in the midst of your challenge, this is a big pill to swallow here, folks. In the midst of your challenge, I want you to shine. Who are you to shine? You are to shine among the pagans that are attacking you. You do such good works among those pagans, though that they accuse you of doing wrong, that they're going to see your good deeds when you shine. And they will glorify God. When? On the day he visits. What do we read at the very beginning? You have trials so that your faith of greater worth than gold can be proved genuine and may result in glory, praise, and honor. When? When Jesus visits. Amen? So, when you shine in the midst of your trial to the very people that are bringing your trial upon you, Jesus is coming back, and it will be a day that both of you can glorify him and receive glory from him. Because why? Because in the midst of it all, you shine, and lives were transformed. How did you come to the Lord? I dare say it's because somebody had a shine. So how was your week? You can come up, Lisa. Challenges, I would imagine. Amen? Did you shine? Some people say, not so much. You know, it was a little chilly, Pastor. In my challenge, I was just looking to stay warm. We're living in the hood. Can't let nobody get over on you. I you know what I'm talking about, right? And God says, no, you're not like that anymore. You took that stuff off. You're part of a royal priesthood. You're supposed to make sacrifice. Mm-hmm. You're supposed to offer praise. You're supposed to have a message. No, this is not part of you anymore. Having rid yourself of this, I got a new way for you to go. And in fact, when you go through that challenge, I'll be right there and you can grab onto me and we'll go through it together. And now you're going to be in a brand new place. And maybe, just maybe, you're going to have an impact on those people around you that are causing you such discomfort. Now, can I get a witness that that is a tough pill to swallow? There are some other churches around here, they ain't got no tough pills. We're just going to look at the word. It's tough. It's a challenge.
It's true.
Intended to shine. Lord, we come before you this morning. Lord, it can be so... Lord, it is so hard to shine. It is so hard to love your neighbor. It's so hard to love your enemy. And it's so hard to shine in the midst of a challenge. Lord, some of us dragging around baggage that should be gone. Malice, envy, hypocrisy, bitterness, slander, deceit. The luster has left our shine, Lord. We have looped around. Our message is muted because of the bitterness in our hearts. Lord says, take it off. Take it off today. Don't be like that anymore. I made you new. I made you to shine. I called you to be a priest. Not just that guy up there who's talking. Everybody in the room called to be a priest, called to taste and see. I'm good, and tell everybody you know. You're here this morning. You're thinking, man, I could use some Brasso. Well, yeah, we got Brasso right up here. Lord still shine you up. Lord still called you. Called me from a long place. Long time walking. Still got some pretty ugly spots in me. But there's a little shine that comes through every once in a while. Maybe you're thinking, oh man, I had opportunity to shine this week and I missed it. Well, I'll tell you what, I'm not going to talk anymore. But you might need to talk to God. You might need to talk to the Lord about your shine and about your challenges. And the choices that you make and what you're wearing.
Yes, Lord, take
And the Lord, speaking to your heart this morning, this is the is like the car wash, the shine zone. You come up here and you start taking some steps as you come to Him, your spiritual milk up here. Amen? So we're going to stand. We're going to sing. Worship team's coming. And you could come right up here. Just shine you. It'll do a work in you. Amen?